that was beautiful, guys. That was really neat. And it was just exactly what we need to get our minds focused on what we're about to receive. I've been very, very blessed over the number of years in the Church of Christ to be able to serve with Buzz upon many occasions. And tonight is no less important. A number of years ago, just after Buzz was called, he asked me to introduce him out of the Missouri reunion. And I made a faux pas, small and insignificant. So I'm not going to say anything again about the geese or... because he asked me not to. Seriously, we've been abundantly fed since we've been here or been these services have started. And we have a tremendous opportunity to be fed even once again. But we hold an intimate responsibility in that opportunity. Our Heavenly Father has promised that He will feed us. He has promised His gospel message to those that will receive it. And our brother has dedicated his life to deliver that to the children of God. And I would hope that each and every one of us, as we would focus in tonight and bring our minds in from the world, being tired from the meetings or the dining hall committee from all that wonderful food they've given us, that we would be able to truly focus intently upon what's given. That we would earnestly pray that our brother would be given that latitude and that peace and that inspiration. That we might be a stronger people. That we might be a better people. That we might be Christ people. And I offer you with great joy and anticipation our brother Smith Brickhouse.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, to be able to stand here, and I surely would appreciate your prayers. I too enjoy those young kids singing there, and as I have, and seeing all the little ones come up forth and offer their offerings of praise to our Heavenly Father for that double quartet, I've really been so proud of the youth as they had solemn assembly services and those things, those services prior to conference and even at the conference meeting and at the services. I looked out in the congregation and over half of it was, kids under 25. And I was thankful for that. I have a lot of hope in that. I really do. It means encouragement to me when you see these young adults and young kids up here willing to praise their Heavenly Father and come to the services and testify and to pray to Him, witness to Him to the others. We had a youth forum meeting last night, and those kids really participated, didn't they, Jay? They were attentive and they had a lot of good answers to questions. And I'm really encouraged. I can't overstate how encouraged I am when I look at our youth and they set a good example for us old folks a lot of times. And we can be proud of them. We need to continue to remember them in our prayers and in our thoughts and meditations to our Heavenly Father because they've got a tough road to hoe as we all do. I'm encouraged of the work of the gospel. Downstairs, I was in the hall, and Andy Brantner and I were talking about it. He says, I just feel like something's about ready to happen. And so do I. I just feel like something's ready to happen. And I hope and pray that we're ready. Because this work is going to go forth in its power, in its glory, in its fulfillment of the promises of God. And we have to prepare ourselves. We have to do just what that song that those kids sang. Walking, preaching, praying God, praising God. That's what we have to be doing. And are we already? You know, I really had some problems in my lack of preparation, I guess, for this sermon. And I was having trouble coming up with scriptures. And as I sat and was looking at the scriptures, what I kept on coming up with were songs. And that expresses it, I think, of some of my feelings, you know. I'm just going to read a couple of the verses or whatever it's choruses or whatever it is. One is page 105. We have a story to tell the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. We have a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. We have a message to give to the nation that the Lord who reigneth above has sent a son to save us and show us that God is love. We have a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. We've got a story to tell, don't we? We've got a story. A miraculous story. Of a Heavenly Father who loves us and blesses us and extends His arms of mercy towards us. Of a Savior who has lived and died and gave His life that you and I might have eternal life. What a beautiful message. And we have to be about it. We've got to be prepared to let our light shine. We've got to be prepared to bring these things forth to whoever and whomever we might. You know, we've got to be steadfast. We've got to be alert. We've got to be ready to react when those opportunities are given us. When we see somebody with a need or somebody that has a question, that they might just ask you, which church do you go to? Or where do you go to church? What do you believe? We've got to know. We've got to have answers. We've got to be able to explain the hope that is within us. The joy that we have in the gospel of Christ. We've got to be ready. We have another song. It's song 133. Call me forth, O blessed Master. The souls in sorrow bowed. Send me forth to homes of want and homes of care. And with joy I will obey the call, and in thy blessed name I will give the blessed of the light of the gospel there. You know, again, the Lord gives us these opportunities to serve Him, and we've got to be prepared. We sing that song, and as we mentioned here the last couple of days, I love that song. I don't know how you feel about it, but I love that song. And I hope and pray that the Lord gives us this next conference year and all those opportunities that we can take advantage and we can be sent forth, because we're sent forth. Each one of us here are sent forth out in the world as examples of Jesus Christ. Or we should be examples of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility, because we're of the body of Christ. We're the members of the body of Christ. We're members of the bride of Christ. The church of Christ. Call me forth. There are lives that may be brightened by a word of hope and cheer. There are souls with whom life's blessings I would share. There are hearts that may be lightened of the burdens which they bear. Let me take the blessed hope of the gospel there. What opportunities we have. You know, we kind of think, boy, you know, I'd like to go way out somewhere, you know, travel around. And that's really a blessing to be able to do that. But we have all these opportunities, you know, right here in our homes, in our communities that we live in our schools, you know. And we need to be praying to our Heavenly Father. Just what that song says, that He'll give you those opportunities, that He'll bless you with the impress of the Spirit on how to express that love and that hope that we have in the gospel. Are we doing that? Are you looking for those opportunities? Are we cherishing them? You know, there's another song. It says, "Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O men of God." We're to lift ourselves up over the trials, over the temptations of the world, and bring that light of the gospel to those around us. Now, when we sing these songs, think of those things. You know, if you're down a little bit and in despair, all you have to do is pick up that hymnal. You know, just start humming or singing it. If you're going down the highway or whatever you're doing, you know, it'll lift you up. There are blessings in there. And I encourage us to continually think. It helps you to focus in on what those tasks are. In Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, starting with the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, we know that's our position. That's where we are in this world that we live in. You know, and it tells us to be strong in the Lord. We continue to get our nourishment and our strength from our Heavenly Father, to be committed and convicted, to know with a surety that those things are true, to put them to practice in our life. And putting on that whole armor, take advantage of the things that God has given us to strengthen us. Use the gift that He's blessed us with, the Holy Spirit, and call on it for discernment and direction. To recall those things that we're to know and have been taught, that He might teach us, that we might have understanding and be able to express the things of the gospel to those that are searching. You know, we might just be able to plant that seed. That might only be our task, you know, and somebody else come and be able to explain it. We, again, have got to take advantage of those things. He says here, "And you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What do you think of when you think of the wiles of the devil? You know, we've all read that. I've read that here before, and we hear it a lot. You know what I think of? And I think it was Jade. Didn't you preach up here one time on that? Had these darts. You remember that here, probably 5 or 6 years or more now, of the wiles of the devil, the thing that Satan throws at us, you know, to stick into us, to discourage us. But they should just bounce off us. We have to expect them and know that they're going to come, but we can overcome them through Jesus Christ. So, I am encouraged, I continue to say, although we live in that time, you know, where we wrestle against the powers of the spiritual wickedness in high places. But to some extent, we can rejoice in that fact. Because we know of the day and the time that we live. That it is the end time. And that there is hope. And we have to remember that hope that we have. We have a responsibility as the body of Christ to bring these things in its simplicity and with love, without being overbearing, but being steadfast. And we have to be about our Father's business. We have to be ready. We have to feel that excitement. We have to prepare ourselves. We've got to bring the plain, simple truth of the gospel. You know, we believe that we're the Church of Christ on earth. We believe that the church was restored. It was restored, 1830. You know, it was a fulfillment of that prophecy there in the 14th chapter of Revelations. You know, another angel I saw in the midst of heaven. We all know that. Do we believe it? Do we really believe that, you know, these things have been restored and you know, all the prophecies that have been given are falling into line and it's getting close and we can rejoice. And we ought to be telling everybody that we can. We ought to be looking for those opportunities. We talk of the restoration, you know. What does that word mean? What is restoration? Just happen to have that? You know, to restore. You give somebody a computer and they're dangerous, you know. You can print all these things out. But in the dictionary it says, to bring back, to make something look as it looked originally. To recreate to original form of something. To put back or bring back, to put back into place. Restoration, a representation of the original form of something. You know, when we restore something, we need to bring it back to its original form. You know, man has trouble with that. You know, we try to restore a car and we end up customizing it. You know, we put a new engine in it, you know, a different transmission or something. You know, it looks like the old Model T, but it goes 180, you know. And, you know, that's not a restoration. That car wasn't restored. It was customized. Restore. I'm going to... If I can, though. We believe we're the remnant of that church on earth. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. A remnant is a small remaining part, an end piece, or to remain. You know, it's that what was remaining of what was restored in 1830, a remnant. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I believe that it's so important that we go out and are ready to tell others of that church that we belong. That it is Christ's church and why it is. The need for our restoration. Why there was a need. About the apostasy. And explain that. Can you honestly say that you can explain that, you know, easily to somebody? You know, you're not going to have a half hour now like I have or something. But, you know, something that would get their attention. That they might be wanting to search those things out. That they might have that same desire and that same hope that we do. We have confusion sometimes of what these two words are. Restore, remnant. But to me, you know, that restore is pretty simple. I'm going to give an example, or I'm going to try to. Okay? When I was gone last fall, my wife redid the house and did some re-wallpapering, and actually I conned her into doing that while I was gone. And I got home the day after it was done. But, you know, and it really looks nice. But, you know, I really liked it the old way. I really think that Sue ought to restore it to what it was. You know, and especially, you know, down our hall where we have all this wallpaper and there were pictures of all the kids and everything. I really liked it better like it was before. You know, I like the wallpaper better. And I'd like her to restore it. Now, what would she do to have to restore that?
besides shoot me. She'd have to go to a store, right? And she'd have to look and see if she can find that same wallpaper. And she'd have to try to find and remember that we bought it back in 1980 or something, or 84. And so she'd have a certain period of time that she knew that she ought to look. And what do you do when you go in the wallpaper stores? You know, you look at all these big books, right? And you go into the books and you look under numbers or names. Okay? And then you match patterns. And you see if you have the same thing. Anything else wouldn't be a restoration. You know? So, that's what you would try to do. Now, we've got all this wallpaper. This happens to be a remnant of our old wallpaper. You know, it's a small part of the original. It's the same as that whole wall was. It's got the same texture. It's got the same pattern. It's got the same feeling. It's made of exactly the same thing. It's a remnant. Okay? And it's got a number. It's got a name. You can find it in the book. You know, if you were restoring a church, what would you do? You'd go to a book. You'd look at a number. You'd look at a name. Some identification, you know. You find out what the name of the church was to be, what pattern it was to have, and you'd bring it back as its original form. Same thing. Look the same, feel the same. Now, see this piece of wallpaper? That's a real nice piece of wallpaper. That's our... hope I don't get this wrong. That's our kitchen wallpaper. Okay. You know? Probably out of the same book from the same store. It's got a different number on the back. This one says number 604. This one says 604AA. Slight difference. You know, it's got all the same colors. You know what I'm saying? Feels the same. What's different about it? Pattern's different, isn't it? A little different mix of the colors. A little bit more of one color, a little bit less of another. Okay? This, not a remnant of that. Or not a remnant of what we have in the hall there. A lot like it matches it. Fits along pretty good with it. You know. Now you can go to the store and you can get this. It's got a number, you know, it's from the same store. You might be able to find it in the same book. I don't know, it came out of a different year. Is this our new wallpaper? I don't know. Got some of the same colors, you know, but it's not a remnant. It's not a original. It's nothing, you know, like this other one, you know. And you know, there's not much that you can do to make any of these two be these. And you know, we're told in the scriptures some things about Christ's church. We're told that it has a name, don't we? You know, we all know what I'm going to read here. I'm reading on page 672 of the Book of Mormon, chapter 12 of the third book of Nephi. And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. You know, and then there was some disputations among them, and they were asking, and he says, hey, you read the scriptures? You know, did you go into the book? You know. which saith, you must take upon the name of Christ, which is his name, for by this name shall you be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you do, you shall do in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake, and how it be my church, save it be called in my name. For where if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be called in it to be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Key element of that scripture. You know, I used to sit in congregations and in the small classes and that when I was first in contact with the church as a young man, and I said, what's in a name? You know, what's the big deal? You know, what difference does it make in the name? I used to be one of those. And I've become more convinced because it's something that tells us right off when we're searching. You know, if I'm looking for this wallpaper, you know, I have to get into the right book. I want to, you know, be somewhere close. And so if we come to something that doesn't even have the right name, we automatically know. There's a lot in the name that identifies us as the body of Christ. But it's not the only requirement, is it? Has to be preaching his gospel. The doctrines have to be the same, or the pattern. A lot of the same things, but the pattern's different. Not a remnant. Not even close. But you know, this is what we have in the world. We have other bodies claim to be churches. They are, I guess. I don't mean that derogatory. But they're not the church that was restored. They're not of the original. There's something different. There's a different pattern. You know, there's a church that down in the south where I have an opportunity to work a lot, there is a lot of them. And what are they? They're the Campbellite, you know, Church of Christ. Church of Christ. You know, look at it, see the name, everybody that says, you know, oh, you and I've got a friend in that church. Yeah. You know that they believe that they're restored? They believe in the restoration. They believe in a restoration. You know, you talk to them, you can talk to them about it. They're restored, you know, but they don't have the same pattern. They don't have the same principles of the gospel. You know, they're good, lovely people. Don't misunderstand. They really are. And I'm not talking against individuals. I'm talking against the organization and some of their beliefs are not correct. In their restored church, they, you know, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Those near and dear things, miracles, speaking in tongues, administration, healing, laying on of hands. You know, they haven't gone to the books and searched them correctly. You know, they don't understand that restoration had to come at a certain time, 1830. Had to be in place when that kingdom was going to be set. That everlasting kingdom was going to be placed in the, you know, on earth again. There are many that, you know, of other churches that believe that, you know, they're of the restoration, that believe in the date of 1830. You know, that believe a lot like we are. We believe. But they have a different pattern. They aren't a remnant. They're not. And we have a lot of relatives, loved ones, neighbors, friends that we need to be walking and praising and preaching the Church of Christ in love. Not, you know, not overbearing, but in love. And you know, basically, A lot of this, all the same ingredients that go into it, isn't it? Yeah. Is there any way to make these two pieces here, this piece? Can anybody think of anything? Well, you know, if it might be a little hard, we could try, you know, but I don't know. But you know, I guess what you'd end up saying is that about what you could do is bring this down to the basis form, to the raw material. Grind it up, take out the elements that are the ink and the glue and that, and the basics of the paper, and recycle the paper and recycle the chemicals and everything. And that would be the way that we could make that like this remnant, exactly, like the original. And that process, we know, is that process of rebirth, of baptism, of removing the imperfections, of bringing it down and humbling to the basics, that humble, contrite heart and spirit that it takes. We know that that's available to each and every one that we can reach and present these things to. We also know that this whole piece here, this remnant, can get torn and tattered, dirty, smeared, kids running up and down the hall using it as a railing, you know. And our Heavenly Father, this happens to be washable, you know, a miracle of the high tech. You know, you can go and wash that wallpaper and clean it off, just like we can be cleaned through asking for the repentance and asking for forgiveness and be pure again. We've got those basic beliefs of the restoration and what it means. We believe that we're the remnant of that church that was restored. And there's a need for us to remember it, to cherish it, but in humbleness and meekness, be ready to express it to those around us. Be able to express it in love. And be able to explain the differences, the things of the scriptures that lead. Because, you know, he says, here it's going to be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Yet verily I say unto you that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore you shall call whatsoever thing you do call in my name. Therefore, if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. What a marvelous blessing, isn't it? You bet. Importance to us. So we have the responsibility of bringing that good news of the restoration, of telling them of the remnant that matches that original pattern that is part of it. It's not something that's different. It's the same. It's a part of the original. It's of the restored. It's it. We have to, as a body, as I said, be prepared. We have the need to set aside our own personal agendas and ideas and yield to what the scriptures tell us we should be doing and what we should be presenting. And that's going to take a lot of patience on the Lord's part. It's going to take a lot of kneeling on our part and praying to our Heavenly Father and asking for correction and direction in our life. But I'm encouraged because I know that the time is at hand, and you know it. And we have to be ready, each one of us. I'm going to go on there and read about the church. It says, but if it were not built upon my gospel and is built upon the works of men or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For their works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore remember the things which I have told you. Behold, I have given unto you, says it won't. I'm going to skip over here to the next page. 29th verse. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence it can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilled the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and their repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. You know the things that you must do in my church, for the works which you have seen me do, that shall you also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall you do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for you shall be lifted up at the last day. Each one of us, that's our hope. I know it is. But, you know, the way is clear there. Our responsibility is clear. It's not difficult. It's our inability to yield completely. You know, because we're human. But he's provided the way. And that time is short. You know, we are the restored. You know, the church was restored. We are the remnant. We have the responsibility. We've got this next year some marvelous opportunities to serve our Heavenly Father. Each one of us here. And I just hope that we can go here from conference and take the things that we've heard and the sermons that we've had and the testimonies that we've heard and the prayers that we've heard, and we can remember the things that were given there in the solemn assembly to pray about, that we'd make them a matter of prayer, that we might remember some of the activities that been asked for help, you know. The missionary outreach of the church. You know, so read those. You know, read those goals, you know, that have been set aside, and trying to make contacts with isolated members, contacts with Jewish people, and trying to build and increase our desire for and our attitude towards a Zionic condition that's so needed, you know, in our homes, in our families, in our communities, in the body of Christ. And that we focus on these things as we see articles that are going to be written in the Advocate, that we look at them sincerely and look at them personally and relate to them and look and see how we can make correction within our own lives. How we can be perfected. How we can be brought closer to that example Christ gave for us. That He might be able to use us to be an example to somebody else. So, you know, those things that are written, and articles that will be written are for a purpose. Do we read them and study them? Or do we go through them once? You know, they get in the magazine rack. You know, I speak from experience on that. You know, I know, you know. But, you know, there's some purpose in these things. And these are the things that the Lord has provided for us. And we have to make sure that we're fulfilling His purposes. You know, it's for us, for those that we love, that we might somehow be able to minister to isolated members. You know, we've got many congregations or groups of people around the world that are meeting in their homes and don't have ministry. There's groups down in Mexico. There's a group there in Central America now. You know, we've got some members in Guatemala. We've got members here in the States and in Canada, Nova Scotia. We've got people in Ontario, and we've got some specific spots that really need to have ministry, and they're growing. I mean, they're vibrant, and they just need that so bad. And so I want you to make it a matter of prayer that these spots might be filled. That there might be pastors in those congregations, you know, in those groups, those missions that are meeting, and you know, at our meeting today with the ministry, we talked about that and ask men to, and I'm asking you to pray for those in your local congregations, for young men and old men, that the way might be prepared. That those that are in the ministry, that they might be able to somehow travel more. There's a lot of them traveling, you know. But that the Lord might bless them with jobs and opportunities, that they may be able to get to some of these places that are pretty far away from home for a weekend trip. Or that they might be able to transfer their job and ask for a transfer and be relocated. And might be able to go to some place like Manchester, Tennessee, or Hogansburg, New York, or Toppenish, Washington, you know, Gant, Alabama, and other places where we've got enough people to have a congregation of the Church of Christ, something in that community to draw. And I'm excited about some of those places, the ones that I know. I'm excited about them all. But I'm telling you, there's core areas that will draw people to the body of Christ, and they need to be supported. Pray for our men that they might be able to relocate on either a temporary or a permanent basis, that these people might have ministry that's needed. You know, that's something we can all leave here with to do for the gospel. That's part of that calling me forth. You know, it's something that we can fulfill. Another item is, you know, our youth. You know, we need to continue to remember them in our prayers and in our outreaches to them. You know, and encourage the kids. You know, they're encouragement to us, aren't they? Well, we ought to be an encouragement to them. You know, and that they might get the right experiences, that they might have the right teachings, that they might be blessed with the understandings of the gospel. That they too might be able to go out and testify to others. You know, and they have all that energy and those gifts that they have of music, and that those things might be used for, you know, for the glory of God, that they might be able to have those opportunities, that people might hear them or see them and know that they're of the body of Christ. So that's the opportunities we have. You know, I haven't listed them all by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, that's one of the things that we should glean out of our conferences and our reunions. You know, as we go and we look at the that big pile of paper that we got, you know, called the conference notebook or whatever, you know, and go back through that and look at all the reunions and that and camps that are going to take place. You know, there's a whole bunch. Get your kids to those camps and grandkids, nieces and nephews. You know, the youth camp, the camps for all ages, you know, we all are of some age. And we have an opportunity to go to a camp for all ages. Two of them at least. One in Missouri, one in Arizona. You know, by doing that, you know, we support all the rest of us. We support our kids. We support ourselves. That's what those things are for. Scripture theme camp. You know, a marvelous opportunity for families. For anybody that's within, you know, 500 miles of Knobnostra. Yeah. They can make it in a 10-hour. You know, marvelous opportunity. I'd encourage anybody that can to come to that camp. These opportunities are too few and far between, and we need to take advantage of them. Cherokee Witness Camp, you know, that they're going to try there on the Cherokee Nation down in Cherokee, North Carolina. You know, the kids go down there and they end up helping teach the classes, and they have a marvelous experience themselves. But, you know, the brothers that are down there working them, and I think Peter, I think, and Sam and are trying to go down there, and Brother Gail Brantner, you know, they need our support, if nothing else, in our prayers, you know, in our thoughts, in our encouragement, you know, that group there might grow. That might be a good experience for the kids that come there and for those Indian kids, because they don't have anything. You know, that's almost beyond our comprehension. There is nothing there for them, you know, of good to draw them to do good. You know, there's gambling and there's all the other stuff on that reservation, you know, but to cause them to do good is a little building that, you know, fits right in this area in here or somewhere. You know, it's actually bigger than that, but you know. And they have a place that they meet, and Gail comes there, you know, and during the summer he tries to meet with them during the middle of the week and with the kids and do something with them. And, you know, they need our support. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement. So, you know, those things are the things that we should glean from our conferences, you know. Those positive experiences that we have and those responsibilities that we have. Throughout the coming year. It says on page 681 in the Book of Mormon, "Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, Turn, all ye Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings and deceivings, and of your whoredoms and your secret abominations, your idolatries and your murders and your priestcrafts and your envyings and your strifes, and from all your wickedness and abominations, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you may be numbered with my people, which are of the house of Israel." You know, we have to hearken. We have to be looking and be attentive and be attempted to hear and that the Lord can work with us. That we're willing participants. You know, we have to lend our ear, or bend our ear, or incline our ear, and be looking for those opportunities that abound around us. And we have to be willing to hear what the Lord tells us. You know, His admonishments, His corrections, His blessings. Be willing to hear them and accept them. And we have to be willing to change, to turn, to make adjustments, to make corrections in our life, and turn to Him. You know, from our from those places, there, those ways that we err, you know, and we have to repent, it says. Each one of us. And why we want to bring this message to the world, you know, we bring it to ourselves also. The need for us to repent, to continue to humble ourselves. Continuing. Laying aside all those things that I listed, you know, that are among the body of Christ. Envies and strifes and all that. You know, I've got them. I have to be corrected. We all do. That's a continuous process. You know, we're going to sure be busy this next year, aren't we? Are we ready for the task? Are we looking forward with that perfect brightness of hope of those opportunities that are given us? You know, that you know we can be filled, it says, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, a gift of those that are baptized. Most of us in this room have gone down into the waters and received that gift. Brothers and sisters, are we calling on that gift? Are we using that gift? Are we allowing it to work in our lives? Or are we anticipating what answers are? Are we already too stubborn, I guess is the word. Or stiff-neckedness is the one I'm looking at. It doesn't sound quite as bad as stubborn. Are we already? Just like Andy, you know. Are we ready? Great things are going to happen, brothers and sisters. I know it. We can see it. I can feel it. I know that the Lord is working with His people. And I'm in great anticipation. And I hope and pray that each one of us leaves our conference Thursday, because I hope you're here tomorrow for the prayer service in the morning and the preaching service in the afternoon and the preaching service in the evening, and taking full advantage of these jewels that the Lord provides for us. And they are. They're treasures. These times that we have are absolute treasures. The things that we can remember and build our faith on. But that we'll take these things home with us. That we'll tell those in our congregations. That we'll express it to our families of the joy that we have. Of the hope that we have. Of the responsibility that we have. That next year we can come back and have to add on to the building and do all these things, you know. We have to be ready. We have to expect that the Lord is going to work with us. If we don't, you know, we're in trouble. I've given this example of being a Christian is like riding a bike. You know, I kind of beat that one to a dead horse sometimes, but you know, you have to pedal to get anywhere. You know, you got to work at it. If you don't, you know, the thing falls over. Okay? You know, sometimes there's a new innovation of man. And it's another bike. Okay? And it's called one of these exercise bikes. And, you know, you never go anywhere. Pedaling along, you know, doing all the right things. And there's no expectation of going anywhere. But that's not the body of Christ. That's not the church of Christ. Because we're to have that expectation that we're going to get someplace. The Lord has promised it for His people. That they'll enter into His rest. That we'll obtain eternal life if we keep on pedaling. And I hope and pray, brothers and sisters, that we're all going to be there. Thank you.
While you're turning in your hymnals to hymn number 412, I'll make the announcements, or read the announcements. There will be a baby shower for Rebecca Burnett Friday, April the 11th at 7 p.m. at the East Local. More information is posted on the bulletin board at the back of the church. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., here at the temple lot, there'll be a prayer service. So if you could come in a prepared state at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., Brother Sheldon will be the preacher of the hour at 2 p.m. At 6:15 tomorrow evening, here again, there'll be the song service. And then at 7 p.m., Brother Alvin Harris will be our preacher in the evening. So prayer meeting at 10, preaching of Brother Sheldon at 2, song service at 6:15, and then tomorrow evening, Brother Harris will be our preacher. If you would, turn in your hymnal to 412. Bow your heads with me, please.